Colossians, the subject tonight is prayer, praise, and service. Beginning with verse 15, you'll notice that these elements are written in these verses. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. What I'd like to discuss tonight is this aspect of prayer, praise, and service. This top circle here, I'd like to represent service. Service. This is serving the Lord. What relationship our service to the Lord has. Over here, I'd like to have this circle represent prayer. And this one on this side, praise. I believe there's a balance, and I believe it's written right here. There's a balance to all these things. We must be servants of the Lord. We must be about the Father's business. Jesus said that at 12 years old. He came to that recognition. Little 12-year-old. This should be an encouragement to some of the children that are here. Jesus knew that He had a heavenly Father, and He had to be about His business. And so He told it to the religious leaders of that day. I must be about my Father's business. Also, there is this aspect of prayer where we must pray. We must be in intercession. We must pray. We must get before the Lord and spend time in the presence of the Lord. And the Sunday school class this morning in church dealt with that extensively. And also, there is the aspect of praise, of which we continually have here and are expanding in even now. But these all have their place in the life of the Christian. And God wants you to know what place they have. And there must be a balance to these things. And I believe that the balance of all these things and more is found in the Word of God. I believe the Word is that balance. I believe that as we get into the Word of God, you know, the Scriptures talk about our servants, our service. It talks about obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith. That means getting involved for the Lord. That means doing what God has called you to do. And the wonderful thing here, I noticed this first verse, verse 15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, because you're called to one body. You see, if you've got contention, and we talked a little bit about this morning, if you've got contention in your heart, then there will be contention toward one another, especially the closer we grow together, the more that we get involved, the more ministries we have. There's a closeness of working together. And He says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called into one body. And so there's got to be that peaceful flowing one to another as we prepare to launch out in more and more ministries. And so that must not just be a thing that comes in every once in a while, peace. But He says, and this is God's Word, He says, let the peace of God rule. Let it be the rule. Don't let it be the exception. You know, with this life that we live in, all the trials that we face, sometimes it's the exception. But I've known people that had such a peaceful and quiet spirit. Have you ever known anyone like that? They just seemed so... I can't describe it to you. Just such a blessed spirit. And you could see them in the middle of trials and problems. And boy, they just seem to walk with the Lord. It was the picture I get is a trial and them walking hand in hand with the Lord through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil. Though I walk through it. Now, there's some teaching nowadays that says you'll never have any troubles, you'll never have any trials once you come to Jesus. Well, Anne's song kind of taught us a little bit about that. You're going to have trials. Yea, you will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You can bet your boots that you will. But David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's the thing. Thou art with me. Thou art with me. Now, the aspect of service has to be based on the Word, and I realized that as I was studying about Martha and Mary. You've heard the story probably many times. Jesus came to visit Martha and Mary, sisters. They were sisters, and they had the brother Lazarus, who Jesus later raised from the dead. But they invited him in. In fact, Martha invited him in. And so she's over there working, and she's making the supper, and she's getting it all ready, and she is serving. Okay? So we're dealing with service. She's serving. And she's doing everything she can for the Lord Jesus. But her sister stops for a while, and she comes over because Jesus is sitting there sharing of His Word. See, here's the balance. Sharing of His Word. And Mary sits down at His feet, begins to listen, begins to commune with Jesus. And Martha looks over there, and she says, "Lord, why don't you tell her to get up from there and come over here and help me? How come you're letting her just sit there while I'm having to do all the work?" You see, the peace of God wasn't ruling in her heart. Now, I've been around ministry long enough to know that everybody gets a point where they get a little jittery on the inside because they've gone too far into service and not enough into the Word. You've got to keep the balance of the Word. Martha did not have that balance. She did not have her service ruled by the Word. Mary knew that she needed to get in the Word. Amen? So she went and she sat at the feet of Jesus. She looked into His face, and believe me, I believe this is what this book is all about. Not just to hear do's and don'ts, but to look into the face of Jesus, to fellowship with the Father and with His Son, and to be conformed to His image. Then, when you rise up from spending time with Jesus, your service is going to be anointed. You and you, everything you touch, it's just like Daniel, it's just like Joseph. Everything they touch prospered. It's just like what God told... Oh, perfect example. Just exactly what God told Joshua. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, if you'll get in this book, and you'll let not your eyes depart from it, but you'll meditate therein day and night, then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. He said, don't let it depart from your eyes. Get in here, and then what you do will succeed. Now, everybody wants to be a success. Everybody wants to have a successful ministry. And let me tell you something. If you're in the Word, if you're not just... Now, I'm not talking about reading Scripture now. I'm talking about in the Word. A lot of people read Scriptures. The Pharisees read Scriptures. They knew that book upside and down. But they didn't fellowship with God. They went here to prove that you're wrong. They went here to beat somebody over the head. They went there to prove their stance. But let me tell you, when you come here and you're fellowshipping with the Lord, and you're in the presence of Jesus, when you go away, some people won't like you and some will. But the ones that don't like you are going to be because they're dead set against the anointing and Jesus. And the ones that do will recognize and acknowledge on you that gift, that area that God is communing with you on. They'll recognize it. I remember Stephen. They came out to stone Stephen. See, they were against him. They were against him, but before they started to stone him, they were arguing with him, and they said that the Spirit and the anointing was so strong on him that they could not withstand his words. They couldn't refute him. I've been in that situation. I've had people just wanted to punch me in the mouth, but they couldn't do it. I've had people try to shoot me and everything else and couldn't do it. Because when the anointing is there, they'll acknowledge it one way or the other. They'll acknowledge it one way or the other. And because he was so with the Lord, he didn't have to sit there and say, "Don't you pick up those rocks." You know, they got ready to stone him. "Pick up the rocks and we're going to stone him." He didn't say, that's an amazing thing. He didn't say, "Don't do that. I'm of God." He didn't stand on his position. And he didn't go, "A wall!" You know, and God put up this wall to stop the rocks. He looked up into heaven and he said, "I see Jesus." Didn't he? I mean, he just continued on. He said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and those rocks were hitting him, and he wasn't sitting there going, you dirty rats, how come you did this to me? How can you be down on me like this? He just looked up and he saw Jesus, and he said, Father, forgive them. Hallelujah. Forgive them and bring me on home so I can be with you. Praise God. Paul experienced the same thing, only he didn't die. They stoned him, and the Bible says they thought he was dead. He didn't get up, though. He did get up, but he didn't get up and go, man, my body hurts so bad, I am not going to serve God anymore. I mean, it's too rough. People will stone you if you really get after serving the Lord. People put you down. Have you ever been put down for serving the Lord? You never been hit with rocks yet, have you? I like what Paul says in the book of Hebrews. He says, we have not yet striven unto blood. Praise God. A little put down, and sometimes we get a little upset. Well, I just don't know about all this. Praise God, man. I love it because when I'm communing with the Lord, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Now, it bothers me that they're not seeing the truth, but I don't have to convince them. All I have to do is walk in it. So we've got service, but service is in the power of the Word of God. Service is in the power, and you'll never be able to serve unless you're genuinely in this book, searching the Scriptures daily. Jesus said, search the Scriptures. There was one church in the book of Acts, the church of Berea. And Paul says, written there in Acts 17, I think it is, he says, these were more noble than those at Thessalonica because these searched the Scriptures daily to find out what they were taught was true or not. Now, I really believe in that. I don't believe you ought to sit and listen to me or anybody else and just take it that that's God. I think everybody here needs to get in this book and check it out. I say things all the time that I have to catch, or later on I'll catch, or I remember, no, I said that wrong or something. You cannot listen to one person or two people or people and just take it that that's God. That's part of the biggest deception in these cults out here. They start trusting in a man. I so appreciate what Brother Gentry shared about idols the other day. And we're at a very critical time in this church because God is blessing this church and He's moving in a mighty way. But this church cannot become an idol. It cannot become an idol. You cannot say, oh man, I've got the greatest church. You don't have. Jesus is the greatest. Jesus is what it's all about, and He's doing great things. But the only person who, you know, I just yesterday I was sitting and thinking that if anybody sees any good thing in me as a minister, that is the Lord. That is the character of the Lord. They say He's a godly man, or He does this or that. That's because that's a godly character that if I don't follow the Lord, I won't have. I'm no worse than the rankest sinner, and neither are you. You've got the potential for all the most horrible things by virtue of that nature, and you is the worst criminal. Do you know that? But at the same time, you've got the potential of all of Jesus if you walk with Him, see? So if we see good in one another, Paul said, I don't know you after the flesh anymore. The good I see in you, I recognize that is Jesus Christ. That is the Lord. And if He withdrew His hand off of me, I know because He did it once. That's how this church started. Just before it started, He had withdrawn His hand from me. And I got on my face and I said, Lord, I don't ever care about another ministry, another church, if I never do another thing after 12, 13 years of serving You, Lord. I said, all I want to do is love You. And that picture of Mary was all I had in my mind. Lord, I want to sit at Your feet. I want to love You. Service was not what I was after. Jesus was what I was after. I wasn't looking for a ministry. And He withdrew His hand, and I didn't even have the ability to speak. When I tried to share, to preach, it was just sounding brass, tinkling cymbals. So I shut up. I shut up, and I said, Lord, You're going to have to teach me. And just yesterday, as I thought about this, I thought, oh, my Lord, don't let anybody lift me up or think anything of me, because that's the quickest way for my destruction. Do you know that? God will have no other gods before Him. He'll have no idols before Him. He'll not let anyone else have the glory that goes to Him. And if you start lifting me up, you're signing my death certificate. And I don't think we've had that, but I think it's now a good time for warning. I think we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep our hearts set on Him. And the same thing for this church. No matter what happens here, it is not the church that's doing anything. It is Jesus through the members of His body. See? I mean, when my hand goes and does something, everybody doesn't rush and say, "Man, you got a fantastic hand. Wow!" You know, no, you give the glory to me. Well, if I'm Jesus' hand, you don't come and say, "Oh man, you're a fantastic hand." You say, "Oh Jesus, what a beautiful body. What a beautiful ministry that you're doing through that brother," or whatever. But you see, the glory goes to the Lord. Can you see that? We lift Him up. Jesus said it, "If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me." And that's how we got this far at this time, because we've lifted Him up. Let's not lose it. Let's not lose it by thinking new creation is something special. It's not. Jesus is what's special about this place. And it's always been that way. The presence of the Lord. It's always been that way. The presence of the Lord. I come here, you know, the Bible says the refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. I come here to be refreshed in the presence of the Lord. I don't just come here to have a ministry. He practically, as some of you early ones know, pushed me into the ministry of this church. I was the last person here to figure out what God was doing. But I did it because my heart was, I was not going to take another step unless I heard from God. And then when I heard from Him, I was okay. I was okay, but I had to hear from Him and not everybody else. So service is important, but it's important that we get in the Word, and from the Word life springs forth and ministry springs forth and anointing springs forth. And if not, let me tell you, you may think in your service and in your ministry that you're really hot stuff. But if you hadn't been in the Word, believe me, it may not be obvious to you, but it gets obvious to others. You can tell stale bread. You know what I mean? Somebody's feeding you stale stuff. You know, you can tell. And you know, those who have been in this walk a little bit longer, some of you who've been around a little longer, you recognize what the problem is. Others go, "Well, there's something funny about that church or that pastor or that minister or that singer or that person that's doing this or that." There's something just not on keel. You can't put your finger on it. But those of us who know, you know that it's like, you know, they had the glow of the Lord like Moses got when he was in the presence of God, and it's kind of just barely fading out, and you're getting the feeling that they're on the out and out, and you just caught the fringes of them before they burned out. You gotta be in the Word. And it's not just to be in the Word, quote unquote. You go there to fellowship with your Father. You go there to be with the presence of the Lord and to hear from Him. Now, prayer, on the other hand, is you speaking to God. This is, from the Word is where we hear from Him. And you don't do unless you hear. See, He says go and you go. He says come and you come. See, in the Word. But prayer, that's when you begin to speak with God. That's when you give your request. Now, just throw in one little thing that's occurred to me recently. I probably am more guilty of this than anybody, and I don't know if guilty is the right word, but a lot of times we tend to just say, "Now, Lord, I believe that you're, you know, doing this and that," and we start thanking Him, and there are times God wants you to ask. I mean, He doesn't want you just to say, you know, "Lord, I thank you for this," and you've heard it more from me than anybody, and many times I've done it in the right way. But there are times He wants you to ask. Because the Bible so many times says, "Ask, you shall receive. Whatsoever, you know, you ask in prayer." And it'd be just like a kid. Your child, my child, I have three little girls. It'd be just like one of them coming up and saying, "Well, you know, thank you, Dad. I'm going to go in and eat the ice cream that's in the refrigerator." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute." And then they said, "Dad, could I please have some?" Don't get any ideas, girls. I see you smiling back there. You see, when you ask, you usually receive, but when you just barge in there, see? So there's a place. And I just say that as a point of trying to keep a balance here. We need to be real careful, because there is a place for the other. There's a big place for it. That's the thing that most people have left off, as a matter of fact. That boldness to enter on in and to take what is already ours. But there are certain aspects that you need to ask. You need to come before your Father and say, Father, I love you, and here's my petition before you. Here's my petition. And you know how He is. He's a loving Father. Some of you have had earthly fathers that weren't loving fathers. And there's just this law that you think of God in the way you think of your father. You think that God is like your earthly father was. And if you had a rough time, and I did, then you have a hard time realizing how much your heavenly Father really loves you. But folks, you're going to have to put aside all earthly feelings. You're going to have to get into the presence of God and find out what He's like. He's like nobody. God is not a man, the Bible says, that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. He's not like man. He's so much greater. He's so much greater. In fact, one of these verses talks about the grace. Having grace in your heart. I like that verse in Romans 5 where he says, they that receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign in life, shall reign as kings, is the original translation, in life through Jesus Christ. You can't reign in life except by receiving an abundance of grace. And God is a God of love. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of grace. He's also a God of judgment. But He put the judgment on Jesus so that you wouldn't have to bear it. If you will shape up, if you'll pardon my straightforwardness here, we need to shape up. We need to not just sin that grace may abound, we need to receive forgiveness and say, Lord, give me grace to change, to be conformed to Your image. Can I hear an amen on that? I think that's a real important thing there. Not just, Lord, give me grace to get through this so I can continue the way I've been. Lord, give me grace to be conformed to Your image, to change, that I don't have to keep bumping my head on the same thing. I mean, you know, if the way many times we go through things, if it's a natural thing, if there was a low ceiling and every time you went down the stairs you hit your head, well, pretty soon your mama or daddy would come up to you and say, son, when are you going to learn to quit bumping your head? Why don't you duck when you go over there? But in the spirit, we do it all the time. Bam, you know. And we come back in and say, oh, pray for me, you know. The devil made me do it, you know. The devil hit me. And really, it's just, we just need to, if we're here, we're going to hear from God. If we're in the Word, we're going to hear from God. And we're not going to be always hitting our head. We're going to be conformed to Him. So anyway, our prayer life, we have to pray according to the will of God. This is the will, signed in the blood of Jesus, this book. The Word of God is His will. Now, I've heard people say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. Well, I said, haven't you read the Bible? You know? Well, sure, I read the Bible, but I don't know what God's will is and so-and-so, so-and-so. Well, get in the Word. It's written right here, and God will speak to you. But you have to come here and pray according to the Word. See, now, there are people who pray, but not according to the Word. You remember this morning? I told you, when I get problems, I get down, I write down my problems, and then I go and I find verse, chapter and verse on it, and I have something I can stand on to come against the enemy, because heaven and earth is going to pass away, but His Word is not going to fail. So get on the Word. When you pray, get the Word and then pray the Word of God and it won't fail. Then you know you're praying right. Then you know you're praying right. But it's praying the Word. Now see, if you cut this out, if you erase the Word here and you just had service and prayer and praise, you'd be way out of balance, because the Word of God balances everything out. It is, all things are brought forth by the Word of God, which is the beginning of all things, you see, because in the beginning was not service. In the beginning was the prayer. The prayer was with God and the prayer was God. No, in the beginning was praise. No, in the beginning was the Word, and all things came forth from the Word. The ability to serve, what to pray, Why to praise? Why to worship, you see? In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of all things is the Word. Now, if we don't hunger and thirst, see, the Bible says that we are born again by the Word of God. Jesus stood against the enemy Himself, the Son of God, to prove to us the power of the Word. He stood against the devil by quoting the Scripture. He didn't say, "Bless God, devil, I'm the living Word of God, back off." Now, some of us seem to think that, well, because I'm a Christian or a son of God, I'm a Christian devil and you can't touch me. Jesus quoted the Word. He didn't say, "You can't touch me, I'm the living Word." He said, "It is written." And He quoted it. Can I hear a good amen on that one? That's good. That's good stuff. It really is. He got chapter and verse. Can you imagine the Almighty Son of God doing that? But He did it. He did it. Because that's the way He lived, to show us how we need to live. Quoting the Word of God. All things were made by the Word of God, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So we can go and we can serve God, you know, and we can be going hours and hours of service, and then we can go in the prayer room and we can pray for hours and hours, and then we can come in service and worship for hours and hours, and we can feel like we're really doing something good. But folks, we've missed it if we're not in the Word. And you see, we don't have really a time here for you to get in the Word in our service. That means every individual is going to have to get in the Word for himself and herself. It's up to us. It's up to us. And when we stand before God, He's going to say, "Boy, you were sure in a good church. But what about when you went home?" See, what about when you went home? Once again, you know my feelings on the home. Anybody can come up here and live it in church. You know, you've heard the old saying, they come up and live like the Lord in church and go home and live like the devil. You can't do that. You can't do it. Jesus told one man who came up to Him and he got saved and turned on for God, and he said, "Let me follow you." And Jesus said, "No, go home and tell everybody about it." In other words, He didn't say, "Come follow me and you can send letters and preach about it." He said, "Live it in front of your family." Am I stepping on toes here? I felt a little zzz there. We're going to have to live it at home. We're going to have to, if we can live it at home, we can live it up here. But you see, we are the church, not just when we gather together. We're the church 24 hours a day. Jesus didn't get born in my heart only when I show up in this building. He lives in me. He lives in me. And I live in Him. And I'm being changed into that image. You say, "Well, I haven't come that far yet." Well, keep striving. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. I know it's hard. I know people have hard situations. I thank the Lord every day for the wonderful wife God's given me. I can't tell you how fantastic it is. But I know that some of you don't have it that good. You've got problems at home. But I'm telling you, the same principle is true. I mean, if I got out of the Word and really quit serving God and quit praying and quit praising the Lord, pretty soon I'd have it pretty rough at home. See? So somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to start it. And in the beginning is the Word. See? Say, "I want to start right now." Well, then it's starting by getting in the Word. It starts by getting saturated, full of God's Word, so that when you get in a situation, you don't just, you know, speak a curse word or do something, but then you speak forth the Word of God. And they sense the power of the Lord in your life. And then they'll go, "You've got something I don't have." Instead of an old condemning spirit, they sense, "I sense grace in you. I sense anointing and blessing in your life. And I want that." It happens all the time. The Word says that it can happen. So we know that it can. And also praise. We praise or worship in the Spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said. He told the man, He says, God is a Spirit, and He's looking for people. He seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth is the Word. Thy Word is truth, He says over in John 17. So we have to be in the Holy Spirit. We have to move in the Spirit to worship God. But we must worship in the Word too. In fact, this verse in Colossians says, "Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God by the Father." So you begin to worship. There's no true worship until you worship Him in spirit and in truth. Some of the most blessed times I've ever had in worship was when the reality, and I mean the present reality of what Jesus did on Calvary or what He's done in my life, the reality of the Word comes. I can worship freely. I just go, "Oh, thank you, Lord." I mean, that's a whole lot different than just saying, "Well, praise is the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Is this going to help, Lord?" I think we need to worship even when we don't feel like it. And Linda pointed that out. That's right. But I'll tell you something. If everybody's in the Word like they needed to be, we wouldn't have to worry about that. Go ahead. Get your tomatoes out. We wouldn't. If everyone was in the Word like they need to be, there'd be spontaneous praise, because He said, if you'll let the Word dwell in your heart. Now notice the word, "let the Word dwell in you richly." He didn't say, just get in there and just grab one little scripture out and quote that. He said, "let the Word dwell in you richly." Be enriched. You are being enriched by the Word. That's a whole lot different than just coming here reading three verses and say, "Well, I read my Bible for the day. I've done my duty." That's not it. You get in here and you're letting the Word dwell in you richly. You know what you're going to be able to do? Admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll be making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, what do you think that psalms is? That's the Word of God. Psalms, the book of Psalms. We sing them all the time around here. That's the Word. And you begin to get excited because you realize, like the song, "Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world." Well, that's a wonderful song, but that's the Word of God. That's why we get excited about it. Let me give you an example of this. Some of you looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In this chapter, you're going to find prayer, service, praise, and the Word of God. And you're going to see the place for each one. Okay? You're going to see each one has a place. You know, some people tend to grab hold of one aspect of ministry and just hang on to that. Some others. Now, there are national ministries that need to do that. They need to do that because one area has been neglected. But I'm talking about as regular saints serving the Lord, we don't need to be grabbing. And that's like the old story about the seven guys from India. And there's an elephant standing there and they're blind. And so the man says, "Now, what is the elephant like?" And one of them walks over and he grabs the elephant by the tail and he feels the tail and he says, "The elephant is like a rope." And another one walks over and he grabs the leg of the elephant. He says, "The elephant is like a tree trunk." And another one walks over and he grabs the ear of the elephant. He says, "The elephant is like a large leaf." And another one goes over and he grabs the trunk and he says, "The elephant is like a great big water hose." You know, they've all got the truth, but it's only part of the truth. You see that? And none of them know what the elephant's like by just grabbing part of the truth and running with it. I got the truth, the elephant's, and they go out preaching what the elephant's like. And some guy stand there going, "That ain't what the elephant's like," But they've got the truth and they're right in what they've got. You see, this is where we have to be tender with one another, because you'll hear somebody come up and they've got an aspect of truth. You don't need to stomp out their truth. They've got truth. What they've got is right. What you got to do is add to that. Show them that there's more to it. Come over here and feel this leg. "Oh my goodness, I thought he was a rope. Boy, this is, and once you enter into the whole thing, that's the deal. So we don't need to be just grabbing part of it. There are national ministries. They do need to lift up part of it to get us aware. They need to search it out and get us aware of it. But we need to keep a balance. Once again, the balance is found in the Word. You know, certain areas here, maybe you didn't ever really, you've never gotten into. If you stay in the Word, the Lord will bring you into it, and it'll be blessed. Okay, this is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some who told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria, and behold, they are in Hazarana, blah, 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 whatever that is, which is in Gedda." Now, as I read this, I want you to begin to notice the different aspects here, what goes on, and the progression, where praise is, where prayer is, where the Word is. Okay? As I read, just try to see that they're all there. But we don't need to put the horse before the cart or something. We need to do it all. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt in it, and have built in it sanctuary for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathiah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Woo! Praise God. And he said, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the valley before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." Now, I'm going to go ahead and stop right there. Many of you know the rest of this, and I'm going to read it in a little bit. But I want to make a little point here, a scriptural point, and I want you to see it in the Scriptures. Many people say that these people praised their way out of the problem here. Now, we have wonderful praise here, and I believe in it, but I don't believe in getting it out of order. I believe God's got a perfect way. Praise hasn't been mentioned to this point, and God's already promised them the victory. Okay? He's already promised. He said, "The battle's not yours. You're going to win it. You're going to go out. It's over with." He didn't say, "Get out there and praise me and everything will happen." He said, "I've given it to you, and I'll tell you why." We'll go back. The enemy came. The king feared. He gathered the people together. There's unity, oneness of accord, teamwork, body, gathering together, agreement. They prayed. They prayed the Word. See, the Word was back over here in Genesis. God promised them a land. He said, I'll give it to you and to your children and to your seed. And they got ready to go in the book of Exodus. So he's quoting from the book of Exodus. They got ready to go in, and they, what stood in between them and the land were the Ammonites and the Moabites, the people that are coming out against them these hundreds of years later. So they're getting ready to go in, and they say, Lord, should we destroy these people? And the Lord says, no, pass on by and don't destroy them. So they tried to pass on by, and these people came out against them, and so the Lord defeated them. Okay, so Jehoshaphat knows that. So he's praying the word. He's praying what's written in Exodus. See, he says, Lord, we could have destroyed them, but you told us not to. And now they've come out against us, and you gave us this land, and they're trying to take it away. And your word says that you promised us this land, and you told us not to lay a hand on them. And if we'd have killed them, we wouldn't have these problems, but you didn't let us do it, and we obeyed you. And so now, what are you going to do? Now that's it. Lay the word out before the Lord. He's not worried about not being able to fulfill his word. He's going to do it. He doesn't have any problem. He likes to hear you lay it out there, see. So they prayed, they're ready to move out in service, they've got it on the word, and God at no point at this time says, just all you got to do is go out and just praise. That's the only thing. Praise hadn't been mentioned yet. Praise is going to be mentioned, and it's very important, but if we don't get it right, we're going to have people running around praising at the wrong time, and they're going to get eat up by the lions, and they're going to say, this praise stuff doesn't work. It does work, but it works in the right place. Now so far, if I've been unscriptural so far, you tell me. I've been going right down the scriptures. Wouldn't you rather have a pastor that really gets in here and digs this out and says, now wait a minute, maybe we need to examine some of the things we've been taught, and instead of just grabbing things, maybe that's why so many Christians are having problems. Because they've been taught just slightly off guard. You know, if you let go an arrow right here, it can be that, just that, a hair off. But by the time you get down there, it'll be way off. You see? And if you were taught 5 years ago, just slightly off, there's a good chance you're going to be way off by now. So it's good to come back. See, the balance of this thing is the Word. To come back, get in the Word, say, what does the Word really say about it? Okay, so the battle's theirs. God says, the battle's yours. He didn't say, now, if you praise me, or they didn't say, well, God, we'll do our part, we'll praise you. He just said, I've given it to you, go out, it's settled. Because they based it on the Word. Now, because these people are set up right, they get out there and look. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, who should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And you know the rest. They go out, they begin to worship the Lord, and the enemy is smitten before them. But what they did was they got God's word on it. They prayed. There was the Spirit of God moved on somebody. Now, let me get the order again. They feared. They gathered everyone together. They prayed. They based it on the word. God heard. God answers by a move of the Spirit. The Spirit says, it's yours, don't worry about it, it's settled. They say, it's settled, believe ye the word of the Lord, believe ye his prophets. Hallelujah, we've already won. You see this? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Hallelujah, we've already won. Whether we see it or not, we did it right. We did everything in order. And there's nothing left to do but go, glory to God. Let's just, hallelujah. And they go out praising the Lord, see? And as they worship Him in spirit and in truth, the enemy is smitten. The enemy is smitten. It's right there. It's there. Read it later. Search it up and down. Really? It's there. And you're going to get results that way. You'll get a lot of results. Because you got, you know, it's like Wilma was sharing in the In some country, when boats would come into a harbor, there was rocks all around, and there were lights that were set up. And if you came in just right, the lights would be lined up where the safe way would come. But if you're coming at an angle, the lights are all scattered out. And what you have to do is move until you've got those lights lined up on either side and just come right in there, see? Well, this is lining it all up. This is getting all the lights in order, so that you can move in there and accomplish what you want to and need to in the Lord. But what I've seen so many times is people grab one aspect and then they run out here and poof, and they have a wreck and they start blaming everybody, saying, well, this stuff doesn't work, when it does. It works in its place. And everything has a place and a time and a season, and that's what we need to learn. We need to learn a lot. We need to face it as a church. We need to, as Bible school students and everyone else, we need to face it and say, there's a lot to learn yet. Let's get in the Word. Let's find it out. Let's be open and do as those at Berea. They were more noble than the other ones because they got in the Word, and the Bible says they searched the Scriptures daily to find out what they were being taught was of God. Now, don't you just take this home and, you know, say, well, I guess that's right too, because that's what we did on the other end. Go get your Bible, spend some time there, and when you feel good about it in your spirit, then walk in it. My job is to kind of shake the tree sometimes. It's so good, though, when you get everything lined up, see? When you get the balance of the Word of God, when you got it bringing forth, then it brings forth the right things in your life, and then people see the fruit of that. But you see, if we only center on any one of these, we're going to be shipwrecked. We're going to be shipwrecked. We're going to lose out. So let's keep it in perspective. Amen?